salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time. It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed in this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
They're not outrageous comments. If you listen to that intro, it says seemingly outrageous comments. Truth's not outrageous. It's never outrageous. Now, it may make people think it is. It's always interesting the reactions you get when you speak the truth. When you are a truth speaker, folks, let there be no. When you are a truth speaker, you are a bulldozer, brother. You better understand that. Because most people are conditioned to go along, to get along, and not to judge, and we know how that all thing goes. So I was just listening to that intro, seemingly outrageous comments. Like, abortion is murder, to me, is that outrageous? That may be seemingly outrageous to the average person. It's not outrageous to me. Thanks for joining us today. I got my battle garb on today. And so I think Bobby Lee's still here with us. Bobby's been doing some work up at Sky High. I appreciate Bobby. And we're going to go to breakfast right after the show. My buddy Rod's going to take us out. So looking forward to that. Man, I got some really, really good stuff. It's a flea flicker Friday, really. But you know how it is. I got always so much stuff I want to dump on the table. And so I want to do that here this morning. Listen, we are I've gotten several requests. Requests, not the right word. Yes, we are going to go, how do I say this? We're taking a group of men and women on the Equal Justice Tour, and we're going places, okay? I want you to know right now, that's all I'm saying. Hillary's house? Maybe. White House? Maybe. Lindsey Graham's house? Maybe. We're working on a plan, okay? And that plan's going to be executed on the 30th, Friday, and the 31st of October, coming up. That's like next weekend. You say, Coach, that's not much details. Well, that's all I'm giving you right now. That's all the details that I'm going to give you right now. So if you want to come with us, then be planning to be some – we're probably going to start out in the Washington, D.C. area on Friday. So if you want to go someplace, you want to meet us someplace, it's probably going to be in the Washington, D.C. area. That's where we're going to begin. We're not going to stay there, but that's where we're going to begin. And I just want to give you a heads up that we would love for you to come be part of it, the Equal Justice Tour. And we're going to hit a couple spots, a couple three spots. I was struck yesterday by what Dinesh D'Souza said, that the left knows Christians won't show up. He said specifically that Christians won't show up outside of Barack Obama's house. Really? They won't? The left knows that Christians won't show up outside of Hillary's house. Really? They know that, do they? So we're not going to tip our hand off. If you want to stand up and you want to really begin to increase your loyalty, your fealty to Jesus Christ, then it's time for all good men to begin to come out of hiding. So I want to let me do this disclaimer for the Secret Service and the FBI. We plan no violence. We plan no violence. We are going there. Wherever we are going to demand that our elected officials do their job. And if we have to go someplace and point out a crime to the FBI and to the Secret Service and to the local police, we will do that. That is our duty. Misprision of treason. If we know what's going on and we don't point it out, we're equally guilty. So Secret Service, FBI, rather than come and spying on us, come and bring a notebook, because camera, because we're going to show you criminals. Okay. That's what we're going to do. We're going to point out criminals and point out crimes and do nothing more than ask you to do your job. That's all we're going to do. So Secret Service, when you get calls today from the left and they're telling you that we're going to come and we're going to hang them high and all that stuff. Hey, dudes, you can believe that crap if you want to. You can. If you want to believe that, then you go ahead and do that. If you want to waste time and resources on that, then go ahead and do it. We come in peace. But we will not cry peace where there is no peace, though. We're not going to do that. Did you hear what I said? No violence. We're going to do no violence. But we're not going to cry peace when we're in peace. Go, Larry.
Yeah, along with the Equal Justice Tour, isn't this an ultimate exposure tour?
It is. It is. We're putting together a good one. I got to show you this, okay? I got to show you this. Hey, Mike, I got 10 things I got to show you here today. Let me start right here. Mike, do me a favor. Go to Jeremiah 48. Because I stumbled across this yesterday, and I about fell out of my chair. Jeremiah 48. And Mike, go down to verse. Let's start about verse. If you read this, it's about the destruction of Moab. And I mean, I don't want to get into all this. Okay. But I'm going to show you something that popped off of this screen. And I couldn't get away from it all day. I'm nonviolent. Hey, FBI, CIA, Secret Service. We are doing no violence. Okay. Can't make it any more clear than that. Anybody that's telling you that we're planning something violent is lying to you. Go ahead and chase the lead if you want to. Verse 7 says, "For because thou hast trusted in thy works," I'm just giving you a before and afterwards, "and in thy treasures thou shalt be taken," he's talking to his people, "and Chemosh shall go forth into captivity with his priests and his princes together." Judgment of the Lord coming. Okay? "And the spoiler shall come upon every city, and no city shall escape. The valley also shall perish, and the plain shall be destroyed, as the Lord hath spoken." Verse 9, "Give wings unto Moab, that it may flee and get away. For the cities thereof shall be desolate, without any to dwell therein." Now watch this. "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." You guys ever seen that? "Cursed be he that doeth the work of the Lord deceitfully, and cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood." Sword being justice. Sword being wielding the sword of justice. Cursed be he that doesn't do it. That doesn't wield justice. Now, Mike, just so all the jellyfish out there relax, I did some, hey, Mike, go up at the top and see what it says in the NIV. See if maybe I'm just reading this King James a little bit more harshly than what it's supposed to be. Let's go to one of them, Mike, one of those sissy ones. Go to the NIV 48:10. What's it say? 48:10. "And a curse on anyone who is lax in doing the Lord's work." You seeing this, Randy? On anyone who is lax in doing the Lord's work. "A curse on anyone who keeps their sword from bloodshed." We're talking judgment here. Hey, Mike, let's do that. Let's go to the Message Bible, Mike. Maybe the NIV and the King James are just a little bit too harsh here. Maybe they just are. Let's see what the Message says about it. Where is it? Mike's looking. There it is. The Message. What's the Message Bible say about it? 48:10. Talk about judgment, not bloodshed. Don't miss it. It's talking about judgment, about bringing judgment. Okay? Sloppy work in God's name is a curse. And cursed are all half-hearted use of the sword. Man, do I need to get another one? Do I need a new American standard? Do I need to go someplace else and see that it's very clear that says that you don't do the Lord's work half-hearted, and you are cursed if you are not making proper use of the sword. Again, the sword meaning judgment, okay?
Judgment via God's word.
There it is, brother.
The word is the sword is the word.
Now, I understand it's the Old Testament, Silver. I understand that. That makes people nervous when you, but somewhere in there it says, I change not. I'm the same yesterday, today, and forever. I change not. And we are in the mess we are in because the sword has been used sloppily. Would you guys agree with me? The word of God's been used sloppily. God's work, sloppy work in God's name is cursed. It's ineffective. And also cursed are those who use it half-heartedly. So that's why I put on my war gear today. Anybody, come on in.
Okay. back to the King James Version. It says that deceitful, meaning not sloppy.
No, that's right, Joe.
I got a sloppy office. Okay. Yeah. But deceitful is intentional wrongdoing with the purpose of obtaining a goal for your own means, okay, and not God mean.
Amen, Joseph, huh?
Okay.
Well, that'd cover a lot of pastors, wouldn't it? Huh?
I mean, I'm just floored by that. I mean, I've read this before, but cursed be he that keepeth back his sword from blood. And that is right here.
So it says, brother.
That is right here. We are not. All of our swords are sheathed. And we're not willing to pull them out.
That's right, Joe. That's right.
And go to war.
This isn't about violence. This isn't about vigilante justice, right?
No, it's not. It's not.
It's the Bible. The sword is the Bible. It's the word of God. But it also has a physical manifestation to it. And that physical manifestation is judgment. The sword represents judgment, friends.
The physical manifestation also represents standing outside of Obama's residence or Hillary's residence.
And swinging that sword, right, brother?
That's it.
Okay, folks. So I'm standing on firm ground today. I don't care what I don't care what everybody else thinks.
Amen.
Yep, I'm standing on pretty good ground. Okay, so anybody got a comment they want to say about that? Hey, listen. Hey, I'm going to tell you something. The Lord's work isn't for the timid. I'm sorry that women have taken over the church and the church has become effeminized. I'm sorry. The Lord's work is not for the timid, folks. It is not for the timid. Sorry, it's not. And unfortunately, America's churches are led by timid men. Amen. That'd be a good place somebody say amen. America's church are led by timid men.
Amen.
Amen.
Timid men.
Hey,
timid
coach.
Men. Yes.
Yeah, you don't call
I really like what Pastor Bill says. He always says this. He always talks about unsheathing the sword when we get ready to go somewhere. He said, listen, man, we got to unsheath the sword. He said, you got to cut him. He said, but then after you cut him, you pour a little salt in that wound. He said, it's going to sting. That's always his phrase.
Yes, sir. We got to cut him. Timothy.
Yes, good day, guys. my point is this, is that if we keep the sword sheathed, when we pull it out, we become really wicked men. And the idea of loving that sword and understanding it and producing it and working with it, we can pull it out and become artists and jab at the right space at the right time.
Amen. Amen. Amen, Tim. Amen. But listen, boys. The sword's no good if you're not willing to unsheathe it. It's no good if it's not. Judgment and justice and judgment the Lord loves. The Lord loves judgment and justice. He loves judgment and justice. Why don't we? Why don't we, folks? Why don't we? Anybody else on this? Because I got a couple good things to show you here, I'm telling you.
Yeah, Dave.
Yeah.
Hebrews 4:12. Somebody wants a new Testament scripture. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit.
Yes, sir.
Shoot. I touched my phone and lost the rest of it. Dang it.
Okay. You'll get it back.
I'll come back to you.
Where is that? We'll pull it up. Where is that that you're reading, Rich?
4:17.
Of what? I'm sorry?
Hebrews.
Hebrews 4. He's 4:17. Go ahead while he pulls that up. Somebody else come on in.
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
Yeah, just want to say, and I can tell you, I've heard that scripture quoted in church services before, but it's only applied to your own personal sanctification and nothing beyond that.
Yeah, and you can't read that and think he's talking about that, right? You can't even think that, right? 4:17, can't be 17. For the 12, there it is, Mike. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into the rest, lest any man fall after this same example of unbelief. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. It's two-edged because it cuts going in and it cuts coming out too, right? Piercing even to the dividing asunder of the soul and the spirit. Think of that. How precise is that sword? And of the joints and the marrow, and is it the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. That's the sword we're talking about there. Hey, FBI. Hey, Secret Service. That's the sword we're talking about. And we do not wield the sword in vain. We don't do it just to wield it. And you have a sword, FBI, and you have a sword, CIA, and you have a sword, Secret Service, that you're supposed to be wielding, and it's sheathed. You have not drawn it. Bill Barr, you've not pulled out that sword. I'm waiting. We're tired of waiting, sir. We're tired of waiting. We're tired. We want justice. We don't want vengeance. We don't want revenge. We don't want to get even. We simply want justice. That's all we want. We want one system of justice. When Hillary breaks the law, we want it enforced. When Biden breaks the law, we want it enforced. When Bill Barr breaks the law, we want it enforced. When Trump breaks the law, we want it enforced. I don't want you just to enforce the law on me or on Mike Heath or on Larry. We want you to enforce, in fact, we want you to enforce the law on those who are committing the high crimes, because a high crime and a misdemeanor, according to the Constitution, doesn't have anything to do with the degree of the crime. It has to do with the position of the person doing it. A high crime is when a high official commits even a misdemeanor, even a small crime. Our elected officials, our leaders are to be honest. And when they break the law, it is a high crime. Why? Because it impacts us all. That's what we're about. Okay.
I'm moving. Coach.
Yes.
Coach, I like that tweet that Clay shared yesterday with Trump. Act. And it's got 3 exclamation points. What do you know?
Act.
Act. That's a sign, Coach.
Larry's got the sign. What do we want? Justice. When do we want it? Now. Act. That's a sign, right? Act. Do something. Come on. Okay, so we're all on the same page on that. I got a couple other things I got to get to you here. Mike, let's go to... folks, here's what we're seeing. We're witnessing a revolt of the elites. At the heart of it, that's what's going on. And the elites are the kings of this world who are conspiring against the Lord and the anointed. And as we heard Solomon Sawyer say yesterday, the media is really controlled by 6 entities, maybe as few as 4. And it's all controlled by the same thing, and that's money. Money. And everyone that you see on TV, Anderson Cooper, I don't care who it is, Hannity, Limbaugh, I don't care who it is, folks. Listen, they all have a threshold they will not step across. They all have a point they will not go beyond. And so what we're seeing happening, in my opinion, our defense team, ooh, what was that? Is using the sword of the Lord deceitfully. See, they appear to be swinging the sword, but they don't ever really get to the point where they have to stick it in, do they? They don't ever really get there. And you listen to Limbaugh for 3 hours, and at the end of the day, say, boy, Rush, man, he was sure on it today. Yeah, he was on it, but he didn't do anything. And then Hannity, he's on it for 3 hours. And Michael Savage is on it for 3 hours. And boy, they're all on it for 3 hours, but nobody's doing anything. See?
They're shadow boxing, Coach.
They're shadow boxing and they're swinging that sword deceitfully. Do you guys know this? You do know this, right? Right now, today, if Glenn Beck said, we need 500,000 people surrounding the Department of Justice, how many think 500,000 people would show up? I do. They'd be there in a heartbeat. Why are they not saying that?
Hey, Coach.
Yes.
The talking heads are just like the so-called conservative action groups out there. They all do a pretty good job of exposing some truth and putting and shining the light on the situation. But none of them, most of them, do not have a single plan to correct the situation.
No, they don't. Well, Larry, can I tell you why, Larry? They don't want to correct it. They don't want to correct it because if everything got corrected, they wouldn't be quite as popular talking about what the left is doing and all that kind of stuff, right? So we are simply here trying. What we are witnessing is a revolt of the elite, the people that are sitting on the top, controlling everything, who are using the sword of the Lord deceitfully, and we're trusting on them to do something about it, and they're not. They're not. Hey, listen. They're not going to do anything about it. What if Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck and Michael Savage, and name another one, that doesn't matter. What if they all had a meeting and got together and said, listen, boys, beginning Monday morning, we are going nonstop pressure on Bill Barr. That's what we're going to do, nonstop. In fact, we're all going to show up. We're all going to, Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck, what if they come to agreement that we all are going to continually do our shows from outside Bill Barr's house till somebody's arrested? Do you think that could those guys move them to do that? Could they move the crowd to come to Washington, D.C. for justice? Well, of course they could. Of course they could. Why won't they? Because they're using the sword deceitfully. They're going to a certain point, but they won't go beyond that.
Well, Dave, I think if they did, they'd have new hosts within a week.
Well, hey, how about that, right?
Oh, well, right? Oh, well.
Uh-huh. That's right.
What's Rush got to lose at this point?
Especially what does he have to lose at this point? Yes. Yeah, Gary.
I don't know, most of those guys aren't even Christian, but anyway, the thing is, they're not willing to lose their lives to save it.
Hey Gary, where's Frank Graham?
That's a good question.
Why isn't he making this call? Why isn't John MacArthur? How come John MacArthur hasn't woken up and said, "Look what they're doing! I'll see y'all in Washington D.C." Frank Graham, T.D. Jakes, name all the big ones. Name all of them. See, they are also using the sword deceitfully. You understand? You understand why I got my battle garb on here today?
Because haven't cleaned our own house, Coach.
They're keeping us compliant and passive. Do you understand that? That's what's called, our leadership is. And when I begin to speak up, then they call me names. My team, our team calls me names. Our team says I'm crazy, right? Our team does. Not you guys. You get what I'm saying, right? Because they're using the sword deceitfully. So that's the battle. See, it's not just the battle of the kings of this world, because the kings of this world on the left own Rush Limbaugh. Come on now. Let's tell the truth. They own Glenn Beck. They own him. They own Sean Hannity. They're paying his paycheck.
Of course.
They own him.
Of course.
Coach, you were in sports. Don't people on teams that throw games, aren't they part of the team, and yet they engage in conduct that causes their team to lose?
Of course. Of course. Now, listen. God bless Sean Hannity. You know, Sean can get up every morning and say, well, I'm doing my role. I'm doing my part. Is he? Is he really? Rush can say the same thing. Is he really?
Hey, Coach, they're paid millions of dollars to not say things, not to say
They just take you to the edge, don't they, Gary? Just take you to the edge. Talent on loan from God. See you tomorrow.
Hey, Coach.
Yep.
Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. This is why they don't do it, Coach. This is why no one wants to go to the next level and next step and to lay their life out there and maybe.
Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief.
Unbelief, Coach.
Mm-hmm. Yep, yep, yep.
They are not, and it goes back and it shows how Joshua went on in when all the rest of them wouldn't. It's the people, Coach. It's just what Gary said. It's the people that are not willing to lay down their life for the gospel, for their family, for God, for all the right reasons. They are not willing to lay down their life. Coach,
the leadership.
I'm going up there. I tell you why I'm going, Coach, because I am willing to lay down my life.
That's right.
I don't want to die, Coach. I don't want to die, but I'm willing. I'm finally in my life willing to say, Lord, I'll do whatever you tell me to do. I'll do it.
Me too.
Obedience, Coach. Unbelief is disobedience.
And Randy, our leadership isn't there yet. They're not there, brother. They're not there. They love their lives way too much.
No, Coach, they're not. They're not willing to speak the word of God. I'm willing to speak it. I mean, it's
deceitfully, Randy.
What's going to do, Coach? It's not because we're smart. It's not because we're any better. It's because we're willing to speak the word of God. We're willing to take the word of God, the sword, and say, God says justice. You're going to see justice. You're going to see the judgment of God. That's what I'm willing to do.
That's right. That's wielding the sword, not deceitfully, is it? That's wielding the sword, right? That judgment, bringing judgment. Hey, folks, if we don't speak judgment and justice, who will? Huh? Okay, now, are you sitting down? Mike, click on Shutdown DC. Click on that. Are you guys all sitting down? Want to know why we're losing? You go right now. Hey, Mike, I don't know, Mike, if you could do this. Sometimes you're a master. I wonder, Mike, if you could do one. Anybody can do this. Maybe you can help us out. Right now, do a Google search for Christian conferences. Christian conferences. I get them all. They come across my Facebook page one after another, after another, after another, after another, after another. Christian conferences. Mike, stay on that page. I don't want you to search because I need you to work this page for me here. So I came across this one, Shutdown DC. ShutdownDC.org. You guys can pull it up on your own. Shutdown DC. It's time to organize. Hey, folks, this is Satan's church, okay? This is Satan's church. Shutdown DC uses strategic direct action to advance justice. Sounds like Christians. It sounds like the church. And hold officials accountable. This is Church of Satan. We're a growing movement. And we're getting ready for an uprising. Being led by who? Franklin. Did Franklin Graham put this page together? Did Frank Graham do this? Now's the time to get involved, so we're ready to hit the streets. Who, Christians? They're only killing 2,000 babies a day. Why would we get up? Let's have a conference on prophecy, on what's going to happen here in the end times, and look at this sign and that sign. And let's go have a Christian conference on finances. Let's go have one of those. Oh, listen, let's go have a Christian conference on tolerance and diversity. Let's go have one. You guys are with me, right? And while we're doing that, look what they're doing. So I was just going through some of this stuff, and I said, I want to learn more. So, I clicked on it. I want to learn more. By the way, you can sign up for updates, which I did. Learn more, Mike. Click on learn more. I'd like to learn more. Oh, let's learn about the shutdown. Where are we going? Hey, Mike, click on our plan for the election. Wait a minute now. What are our churches doing? They're having prayer meetings. We're having prayer meetings. Okay, well, here's their plan. On November 3rd, after you vote, hit the streets. We can't anticipate exactly how Trump and his enablers will try to attack democracy. We're a republic, by the way. Although we have been gaming out a number of different scenarios. I wonder if Franklin Graham and T.D. Jakes and John McCarthy, you think they're getting together and you think they're gaming out a couple different scenarios? But we know that the stakes are too high to sit on the sidelines and wait. Who knows this? The Devils team knows this, right? That's why we're making plans to be in the streets before the polls even close. Ready to adapt and to respond to whatever comes our way. Although it says Como's, I don't know what. So if you're in D.C., come to the Black Lives Matter Plaza. On election day, when you're done voting, doing election protection or getting out the vote, come and join us at Black Lives Matter Plaza. We'll have go-go bands, salsa dancers, artists, cultural workers, and much more. We'll also be watching the election results coming in on big screens. It's been a long and dark era, so we're going to be together to process our feelings of hope, anger, fear, and exhaustion as a community.
Hey, Coach, this sounds like a ritual, Coach. That sounds like a celebration. Sounds like a ritual.
I would go, but I get this prophecy conference. I got to go and see how Israel, listen, it's all happening in Israel. It's all going on over in Israel, right? Right? Find your people. Well, let's clip up there. I'm like, I want to find my people at the top there. Find your people. How am I going to find my people? Because it says when we show up together, we win. Hey, folks, this is the Devil's team. Well, join an affinity group. What? Yeah, join an affinity group. You mean like a brigade? You mean join like a brigade? Well, an affinity group are people who organize through a shared passion for an issue, geography, or life experience. Shutdown DC works with dozens of affinity groups in the region and nationality. Hey, find an affinity group near you. Mike, let's see if there's any near me. Click on, is there an affinity group near me, Mike? Oh, there's how you find it. Well, Mike, wait a minute. What does all this say down at the bottom? How do you say? Do you live in or around Washington, D.C.? Yes. No. I'm traveling. No. When are you planning on heading out into the streets? What kind of actions are you excited about? I want to plan. Mike, can you make that a little bit bigger? I'm sorry. I want to plan creative actions. I want a group of people for big marches. I want to be part of a group that's helping support other people in the streets, handing out hand warmers. Do you have a friend who is looking to join an affinity group? If anybody wants to be in the Salt and Light Brigade, say, well, I don't know. Never ask anybody. I haven't really been focusing on that because I'm looking at the stars and the sun, and they're aligning, and we're just not going to be here very long. And I just want to awake others. Really? Okay. What's your friend's name? How much experience do you have participating in organizing direct action protests? What do you want folks whom you might be in an affinity group to know about you? They're building Salt and Light Brigades. Is this amazing? Go back to the homepage, Mike. What are we doing? Shutdown DC. Shutdown DC. Do you believe that? Calendar? Well, look at that. You can click on there and they can tell you stuff that's going on places. October 23rd. What is that? Well, that's today. From 2 to 3 p.m., Google Calendar. Oh, you mean like, wow. I think they're a little bit more organized than Coach Dave Live. And I wonder if the left is criticizing them for being in the streets. Bet they're not.
Why would they? Threat, Coach.
Go ahead, Joe.
Coach. This is obviously a left movement in here because they're defending democracy. We're defending the republic, okay, which is a whole nother animal.
Joseph, we're defending the Lord. That's a whole nother animal.
Well, that's what I was going to say is you were talking earlier about act, the term act.
Yeah.
Active Christian trepidation.
Active Christian trepidation. Act.
Yes.
Hey, wait, stay right back here, Mike. Go back up here. Sorry, Joe. When we get loud, we get heard.
How about troops?
This Joe? Is what democracy looks like. This is what democracy looks like. I heard that so many freaking times. This is what Christianity looks like. Does any wonder why we're getting our handed to us? Any all? What anybody know? Where's Glenn Beck organizing these things and Rush? Rush have these going on? Anybody know that Sean Hannity got these things, setting any of these things up for us? Right? Franklin Graham. See, we're counting on the supernatural intervention of God because why? We're using the word of God deceitfully. Chad.
Yeah, Chad, you said earlier that Rush, what has he got to lose putting his years of information into action? I just sent him an email. I mean, just 10 seconds ago. Subject, talent on loan. Content of email. If your talent has been on loan from God, and I believe it is, then will you now use it for God?
That's good.
And the answer is no. Go ahead, John.
No, Dad, go ahead.
No.
Okay, man. I'm just saying that, you know, all of these hosts of what they're doing is that all they do, they're still promulgating the same thing that it is, that someone else is going to handle it. This is what we're being held up. It's just another modified Q movement. That's all it is. They're telling us what's going on, and that this is certain, and that someone else is going to handle it. And this is what the problem is.
Yes,
and nobody else. I'm right with you, Dave. I'm just sitting here shaking my head for months now, of years, saying, why don't these guys call for somebody to do something? Because they lose their platform.
Yep. And didn't Dinesh D'Souza say yesterday that the left knows that Christians aren't going to show up outside of Obama's house? Didn't he say that? I mean, that's almost a direct quote, right? They know Christians aren't going to show up. They know. So who's going to show up? These guys are going to show up. And then who do our elected officials think? What do they think about what the American people want? They think these people. Say these people cared enough to get organized and show up. The Christians. I'll never forget. Hang on a second, Randy. I feel it. Just a second. I'll never forget. I had a meeting with federal representative, congressman. Thank you, Lord. I had a meeting with my congressman one time. And when the meeting was over, do you know what he said to me? I'll never forget it. Pat T. Berry. He's not our elected official anymore. And he said, hey, coach, thanks for coming. We never hear from you folks. That's what my elected representative said. Thanks for coming. We never hear from you folks.
Coach, here's a revelation.
Happy grandpa, Dale. Yay! Happy grandpa.
It's crazy, man. Here's the deal. It's an absolute picture of it. The church is praying that God's going to intervene. Well, this is how God intervenes. Back to the story of Moses. When Moses comes down from the mountain, he goes to the elders. He goes to the leaders of Israel. He said, this is what the Lord said. And they were all excited. And they said, now let's go. He was supposed to take the elders to go to Pharaoh. And you know what the elders said? No, 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 no. You go, Moses. Well, Moses went. So the church is praying for God to do something. Well, God did something. And guess what? Pharaoh put more hardship on the Israelites. And what did the Israelites do? Turned on Moses and said, Moses, you're the one that brought all this stuff on. So when the church is crying out for God to intervene, let me tell you what, God's a little bit heavy-handed when he does it, when he's commanding us to do it and we refuse to do it and he does it, don't complain in how he does it.
So Dale, in fact, someone has said about me the other day, you know, sometimes coach is our own worst enemy. Come on in, Randy.
Coach, I don't care what the other anybody else does. I don't. I mean, I care about people. But if the church wants to be what they are, if anybody doesn't want to act, that's fine. I don't care. I don't care. I'm gonna. Here's what in Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is living and powerful. The word powerful is we get it's energy. It's energized. It means it's active. Active. A person that doesn't want to act can't wield the word of God. They're dead in the water. So, Coach, I can't dwell when David when he took Goliath down. They were all shaking in their boots. They were all scared. They were full of fear. He was the only one of all of them that would go do it. When he did it, they all came in and they chased the Philistines out. Coach, we only need a few.
Well,
if we will do what God has showed us to do, they'll all come in behind us. It's okay. It's okay. Let's.
But the truth of it is, in a lot of different ways, and we're all guilty of this, Larry Richardson's been working his arse off to try to get people to just sign a freaking petition. We don't do it. JR is trying to do everything he can just to get people to sign a petition, and we don't even do that, right? And so I sit here and I criticize Glenn Beck, and what the hell am I doing? Well, I say, well, hey, at least I'm going, right? So I salute Larry, and I salute Chad and Bobby Lee and JR. Guys, at least trying to do something. Yeah, go ahead, Jack.
High crimes and misdemeanors isn't just for elected officials. It's for anyone who has a platform. So the bigger the platform, the higher the crimes.
That's right. That's why it's called the high crime, right? And as we're talking about in the pre-show, misprision of treason. In other words, we know these laws have been violated, and we have an obligation as American citizens. We have a duty and an obligation to point them out. We have a duty and an obligation to our Lord to point them out, folks.
Yeah, amen, Coach.
Our treason's against God. Our treason's against Jesus Christ.
Our high cries, not high crimes. High cries. That's exactly it. Against God and God. The word of God says in Isaiah, says you'll cry, and he goes, and I'm not going to listen. I've turned my face against you because blood is on your hands.
Amen.
The church has refused to do this stuff. Blood is on our hands.
We're propagandized, man. We're propagandized by cowards. Propagandized.
Hey, Coach, that's how you
are. Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Jack.
We ask for what are you going to do with knowledge you have? A number of years ago when Obama was still, and I interviewed me and Marie Pope on an evening show. And I also had Larry Klayman. You know who Larry Klayman is, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I had him come on. He was just leaving. He gave me 15 minutes, 10 minutes, and he was just leaving to go to D.C. Well, I popped the question to him, what are you going to do once you approach this idea of removing Obama? Well, I said, who can do it? Well, do you want to know? Well, not really. Ha! Really? Not really?
Yeah, not really.
I want to know. Not really. I just want to make money and make a big show. And I want people like your dad to send me money when I send them this thing every month so that they send me money. If I actually had Obama arrested, no one would send me any more money.
Wouldn't need to, would really? They? Wouldn't need to. Yeah, yeah.
Hey, Coach.
315. Go ahead, Gary.
Yeah, I just want to backtrack a little bit. You know, I remember listening to Rush Limbaugh back in the mid-90s. And this is when a couple of countries in Asia were about to go belly up. And there was going to be a bailout involving, including the United States, to help them out. And Rush Limbaugh alluded, well, actually more than alluded, that he was asked to by the powers of be in Washington to support the American taxpayer bailing out a couple of these Asian countries from their financial mess.
Well, and the point, Gary, I'm sorry, I missed the point.
Well, the point is that what we need to be doing or should be doing is demanding that, well, just like Rush Limbaugh was asked by the powers that be to do what he did, we need to be en masse doing the same thing from our end.
Amen. 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 Glenn.
Yeah, you know, what Randy said something that made me think about, you know, we're all familiar with the courage of David, but David also had his mighty men. And if you go back in 2 Samuel 23 and you read starting in verse 8 through the balance of that chapter, look at what his mighty men did. And we don't really know much about them.
Beginning where, Glenn? 2 Samuel 23?
23, verse 8 through the balance of that chapter.
These be the names of the mighty men whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. Also he had Adino and the Eznite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David. When they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle and the men of Israel were gone away, why, he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. And his hand clave into the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned on him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together in a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils. The people ran away from those Philistines because they were probably scared. But Shammah stood in the midst of the ground and he defended it. And he slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And three of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time under the cave of Adullam. And the troop of the Philistines pitched in the valley of Rephaim. And David was then in a hold. And the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me a drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by thy gate." The three mighty men broke through the host of the Philistines and they went and got him some water. That was by the gate, and they took it and they brought it to David. Nevertheless, he wouldn't drink it. But he poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, "Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. I said, I can't drink this water, Lord. Is not this blood of the men that are in jeopardy of their lives? They can't have a drink." These things did these three mighty men. And Abishai, the brother of Joab, the son of Zeruiah, was chief among the three. And he lifted up his spear against 300, and he kicked their hind end and had the name among three. Was he not most honorable of three? Therefore, he was their captain, because he attained not unto the first three. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of valiant men, of a valiant man, of Kabzeel, who Kabzeel had done many acts, like he slew two lion-like men of Moab. And he went down also and slew a lion in the midst of the pit and tongue of snow. And he slew an Egyptian, a goodly man. And the Egyptian had a spear in his hand, but he went down to him with a staff. And he took that spear right out of that dude's hand. He cut his own daggone head right off of it. See, these things did Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, and had the name among three mighty men. He was more honorable than the 30, but he attained not to the first three. But David set him over his guard. And Asahel, the brother of Joab, was one of the 30, and Elhanan, the son of Dodo of Bethlehem, and Larry, and Jephnel, and Randy, and Glenn, and Timothy, and Mark, and they're where they all were. There they were, all of them. Uriah the Hittite, there are only 37 of them in all. Boy, Glenn, that's powerful, man. It's powerful. Looking for someone else, aren't we?
Yeah, to Randy's point, though, it doesn't take a whole bunch. It just takes few. It's about results.
I want to show a video here.
Great catch, Glenn. Thanks, man. Great. Hey, Mike, I want you to go down there. Again, Michael Voris is going to be with us next Tuesday. I want you guys to see this Michael Voris video. Played it at a 1.75 speed, Mike. I was able to do that today because it's kind of lengthy, but I think we can do it in 4 minutes. And again, folks, listen, we are going to find allies in places that we're not even looking. You understand that? We're going to find allies. The Lord said, those who are not against me are for me. And if you say, you know, I really like Michael Voris, but he prays to Mary. I can't fight with him. We're not going to win. I'm not here to convert to Catholicism or convert anybody else to Catholicism. I think this guy's on our side. Or on the Lord's side. And oh, if we had Christians calling out Christian churches the way Michael Voris is calling out the Catholic Church. We had Christian men of God willing to say the truth to pastors and church leaders. Go ahead and play this, Mike. It's 4 minutes, so it's 1.75. It's going to take us about 5 minutes to watch it, but it's worth it. Go ahead.
Turn off the noise. Tune into Campaign 2020, your better choice for live coverage of Election Night 2020. A powerhouse of expert Catholic.
This is a commercial, Mike. This is a commercial. Get about a minute ahead where he's standing by himself.
Militant.com. Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Vortex, where lies and falsehoods are trapped and exposed. I'm Michael Voris. Good men and women, meaning lovers of truth, are starting to become more than angry. They're becoming enraged. What's becoming manifest in these days of the campaign is the gross lack of justice present in the culture of death. Now, the reality of that certainly isn't a shock or really even news. These people kill babies without a thought or concern. Kind of hard to come up with a bigger offense against justice than that. But what is worth contemplating is the extent to which they will deny justice, meaning ultimately fairness. Justice is rooted in truth. It is the virtue by which each is given according to what is due to him. Now, in truth, everyone is entitled to be treated fairly. It's such a basic human concept that every little kid even knows about it from their earliest moments of consciousness. What parent has not heard the nonstop mantra from their children, "That's not fair," in response to some perceived injustice? Of course, a child perceives fairness as being treated the same, meaning the same outcome. The basic complaint goes something like this. Little Sally gets a second piece of pie, so why can't I? That's not fair. Well, little Sally cleaned up her room like she was told. You did not. So you do not deserve to be treated the same. That is justice. They both got treated fairly. But note, it was not the same outcome. Normal people of all political leanings don't like things being unfair. And notice we said all normal people, meaning those who still have a sense of decency. What is manifest in this campaign is the lack of fairness on the part of the Marxist media, the news media, as well as the socialist media giants. For example, look at this split screen image from the dueling town halls last Thursday night. On the one side, we have the elitist treatment of Biden by those working feverishly to defeat Trump. George Stephanopoulos, who was the Clinton White House staffer who helped cover up Clinton's sex crimes, spent the night letting Biden ramble on and say whatever he wanted. Most importantly, he posed almost no challenging question, and when he did, there was no follow-up or challenge. On the other side, the female attack dog, Savannah Guthrie, was relentless in her interrupting challenges, pouncing on Trump relentlessly, throwing everything he said back in his face, cutting him off repeatedly. Now, as a lifelong journalist, I personally have no problem challenging even relentlessly a politician's responses or non-responses to legitimate questions. But what I and tens of millions of others do have a huge problem with is attacking one candidate and covering the other in kisses. It's revolting, but that's what you get with Marxists. All sense of decency and fairness simply goes out the window, and it's all being revealed. Their hatred for the truth, because that's what it is. From Twitter censoring all stories about Hunter Biden's crimes along with his father, to canceling any accounts that tweeted about it, to social media allowing Steve Scully to lie and say his Twitter feed was hacked, and then when the truth comes out and he admits he lied, crickets. Facebook censoring Trump campaign posts, but letting Team Biden claim whatever they want. All of this is so manifestly unfair that you wonder if it might tip some of the undecided vote to Trump, because again, no one normal likes an unfair fight. Like so many things playing out in the culture at large and the campaign specifically, we see this exact same dynamic in the church. Anyone who says the truth gets censored, cut off, attacked, vilified, ignored, and so forth. Just ask the handful of faithful priests who have stood up to this Marxist propaganda from various prelates. Ask apostolates like Church Militant, who are vilified by the church establishment for revealing the ugly truth about their corruption. The U.S. hierarchy is so thoroughly corrupt, they actually give you hope that Judas fared better than they will at their judgments. For example, if you're to believe some recent polls, President Trump's support among Catholics is slipping, with Biden leading now 51-44. Contrast that with a 2016 Catholic vote, which exit polls put at about 53% for Trump and 46% for Hillary. Trump won the Catholic vote by a 7-point margin back then. Today, according to Pew, he's losing it by a 7-point margin. That is a 14-point swing toward the Marxists. But it can hardly be surprising. We have a revoltingly corrupt hierarchy who have either stood by in silence and let Biden present himself as a faithful Catholic, or who have actually supported his bloodthirsty campaign. Not one media organ of the Church of Nice has denounced this wicked child killer, despite their useless claims to be presenting authentic Catholic teaching. Relevant Radio has said nothing. EWTN has said nothing. Catholic News Agency has said nothing. Almost no bishop has said a blessed thing. Instead, the collective mitred class has obfuscated and remained deadly ambiguous on his evil. Indeed, they've said nothing about his repeated sacrilege over the years, or heresy and lies about his faith, apart from the political scene. They don't have sufficient testosterone to say anything about him politically. morally, financially, doctrinally, liturgically corrupt across the board. If the election goes south, it will be almost entertaining to watch the lot of them be rounded up by the state, which will happen eventually. Of course, that presupposes that at least a few of them will suddenly develop a correspondence with the truth. In either case, they'll all eventually be imprisoned. And frankly, they'll deserve to be. It would have been them who, with their censorship and punishing of faithful Catholics, laity, and clergy trying to get the truth out, who will have been responsible for bringing down the judgment of God on this country and by extension the world. There's no way to know for certain, obviously, but it is a possibility on the table because one day it will be the case that the world is being prepared for the arrival of Antichrist because a Biden win will usher in a worldwide victory for Marxism. The godless elite will have assumed full power, and it will have been accomplished through the agency of a bunch of crooked homosexual men who seized control of the hierarchy decades ago and who brought all of this about. A decent prayer at this point, therefore, would be, Heavenly Father, let justice rain down from heaven. God love you. I'm Michael Voris.
Bingo, huh? I'm sorry I played that so fast. You can go back and look at that if you want to. He ain't an enemy, boys. Michael Voris is not an enemy, okay? I gotta show you this, okay? Just just to show you the depravity, I want to end on a high note, okay? I want to end the weekend on a high note. Hey, Mike, go down and click on sex with chickens. So what? Yeah, well, sit down. This is where we're heading, boys and girls. This is where we're heading. Man jailed after killing chickens by having sex with them. Scroll down. He had an unexpected wingman for his foul sex crimes. A depraved British man has been jailed for 3 years for having sex with chickens even after he killed them while his wife filmed it. Rehan Baig, 37, was busted after a tipster told the UK that he had child porn on his home phone. But when they checked it out, they also located among the devices interrogated were moving images showing the defendant engaging in penetrative sexual intercourse with a number of chickens. The defendant caused the death of the chickens on each occasion, she said, with one of the videos showing Bag having sex with one of the animals in his basement after it had died. His wife filmed it with a GoPro, and it also included the dog. And they were kept in a file called Family Videos. I'm not making this up. The wife is heard to make sexual encouraging remarks towards the defendant as she filmed it, as he engaged in sexual intercourse with his chickens, calling her a willing participant. The judge called the depraved, perverted, and despicable acts. Hey, listen, it's just a choice, isn't it? Isn't it just a choice? He said, the judge said that's pretty judgmental of the judge to say it was depraved beyond comprehension, saying they would make anyone sick to their stomach. But killing a baby, that wouldn't make anybody sick to their stomach. That wouldn't be depraved. He told Bag that he was guilty of unspeakable cruelty to the animals. How do we know the chickens didn't like it? How do we know that? He abused for his own sexual gratification of penetrating sexually a chicken. He was sentenced to 3 years in prison after admitting 3 counts of intentionally performing an act of penetration on live chickens, as well as possessing extreme pornographic images, making indecent photographs of children, and possessing cocaine and cannabis resin. He was also banned for life from having animals. Oh, my goodness. His wife pleaded guilty to 3 aiding and abetting counts for filming her husband. She was sentenced to 6 months in prison, suspended 18 months during which she must get rehabilitation. Despite prosecutors calling her a willing participant, her defense team insisted she was coerced by her abusive husband and didn't want to be treated like one of the hens that they saw in the film.
Hey, Coach, can I say it? That's just foul.
It's foul, isn't it? Huh? It's foul. Hey, who are you to judge, Vinny? Who are you to
do? Yeah, and you guys know the first thing I have to do when I get off the show in the morning is go take care of my chickens.
Don't you choke them, Larry.
Larry, I got that picture in my brain, man. I got that picture in my brain. Hey, listen, we are going to do something. Okay? October 30th and 31st is when we're going to do it. Plan somewhere. We're going to start out in the Washington, D.C. area. If you're making plans, that's where you're going to go. Let us know that you're coming. It's going to be, we're going to do something, man. We're going to stand up. We are not going to wield the sword in an ungodly manner. We're going to honor our Lord. Have a great weekend. See you tomorrow. God bless you.